I am a Marine. I am not an ex-Marine. I am not a former Marine, because there's no such thing. The verse that starts, and I'll let you finish it, once a Marine, always a Marine. And that's really true. Marines still greet each other as if they'd served together, regardless of where they meet. And they inculcate a form of thinking and a form of being that never leaves. Besides being a Marine, I am also a saint. One who God has called, been baptized, had a laying out of hands, and received God's Holy Spirit. I think I could say, once a saint, always a saint. I used to think that was true until the mid-90s. Those of you who were around in the mid-90s through turmoil. And remembering how hard it was to get into the church in the early days. You just didn't show up at services and said hi to everybody. You didn't know where services met. You had to have a ministerial visit. More than one. Until you were sure that you wouldn't be a scurvy elephant when you showed up at church. That's Wayne Dyer's idea of a disturbing element. So why was it so easy to leave when it was so hard to get in? You remember those days. I remember after services going out to eat with the Cordues, with the Kerrs, with the Greens, wondering what was going on. And then, of course, the big disruption occurred. All the doctrines changed. Didn't know what was happening to God's church. I was left with two questions. Why did so many leave in the mid-90s? I couldn't get my head around that question. And the second question I was left with was, why was I still there? And all these people that had positions and had been around for decades were leaving, changing their teachings. Didn't understand it. And I really didn't get answers to those questions until about 4 years ago. And that's what I want to go through with you today. The answers to those two questions. Mr. Ekema, back in Pentecost week, used a scripture that I'm going to start with. Because it was actually writing out this scripture that got me to think about a word that I hadn't considered before in it. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What word I missed in my previous readings was the word love. Because you could know the truth. You could believe that it's the truth. But maybe not love the truth. I'm sure all of those people that were in Worldwide Church of God believed that they were They had the truth. Why leave? Why go back? Why give up the truth and go back to keeping false holidays? Eating whatever you wanted. Worshiping whatever day you wanted, or not at all. Wow. Those who perished did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, whether it was God sending the delusion or Satan sent the delusion, I happen to think it was both. Satan was deluding God's people, and God allowed it to see how many people loved the truth. You can go along with something without really believing in it. You can go along with it for decades. You might even believe in it. But enough to not change? When pressure is put on? I just remember, because I used to be festival advisor in Macomb, and people would say, well, I don't think I'm going to keep the feast this year. What? Huh? This year's going to be my 50th feast. I'm not giving it up. Too many great memories. Great sermons. A great vacation that God prepares us for and requires us to save for. Matthew 24, verse 9. Said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, and I believe that means many in the church will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. I couldn't even imagine people hating me or me hating anybody else when I first came into church. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Boy, did that happen. And because lawlessness will abound, that doesn't mean you're a criminal. It just means that you don't obey God's law. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. If you don't love the truth, God will send you a delusion. He did it in the Old Testament. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66, verses 3 and 4. Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions. That's God's talking. I will choose their delusion and bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. So God sent them, in Isaiah's time, a delusion. On the other hand, we have these people that are faithful. We find that in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off. They were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Assured of them, embraced them, does that be a substitute for love? They love them? For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they were had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Many in the 1990s had opportunity to return, and they took it. Return to the land they out of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It really impacts you when you think Jesus Christ and the Father had agreed upon what his life on earth was going to be like, the sacrifice that he would have to make. And yet, for our sakes, he did it. All of these people that are talked about believed and loved you because you're here, have believed and loved the truth. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be here. You are part of the few, the proud, the saints. A sermon I heard about a year ago on faith, the minister said, faith is you have to believe that God is what he says he is and that he will fulfill his promises. That's faith. When God talks about coming down and setting up a kingdom on earth, you have to believe that. No doubts, it's going to come. And that he will reign for 1,000 years. And that those people who have been loyal and love the truth through the ages that God has called will be part of his government. You have to believe it. It's true. It's coming. Why did I start off talking about Marines? Because Marines and saints have a lot in common. So my first question was answered. Why did so many leave? My answer was they didn't love the truth. They practiced it. They knew it. We all thought everybody was the same. I remember Mr. Armstrong in the auditorium used to say, 50% of you don't get it. And that's one thing Mr. Armstrong was wrong about. 50% was too low. Way too low. But he knew that a lot of people that were sitting in there just didn't get it. Of course, you'd look around in the auditorium, you'd say, let's see, who was it that doesn't get it? Well, you didn't know until the crisis hit. Then you knew who didn't get it. My second question, why me? Why you? Do you ever doubt that you won't make it? I've had those doubts until a few years ago. God will never kick you out of his calling. You realize that? And I'm going to show you in Scripture. He will never throw you out. You could leave, but he will never throw you out. I learned this in the Marine Corps. You know, the DIs are kind of rough on you. It's their job to weed you out, not to kick you out, because they don't. They just keep on putting pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure until some people give up. In the average Marine Corps officer candidate training, there's a 50% dropout rate. DIs don't fire anybody. Now, if you're overweight, they will put you back into a lose weight platoon until you get strong enough, and then you go right back into training. If you happen to be injured in training, they don't throw you out. They put you someplace where you recover, and then they put you back into a platoon to finish your training. They don't kick you out. Another thing that I learned is that The DIs never leave you alone. They're with you 24 hours a day. Not the same ones, but there's always a drill instructor with you. What do they endure for in the Marine Corps? Why do they accept all of this punishment? For this. Cost me $2.99. It's the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor. When you finish your last evolution, which is usually climbing a hill, and you get to the top and you're totally exhausted, the DIs go around and pin this Eagle, Globe, and Anchor on your uniform. And how proud you are at that moment, never having a good word said to you for all 12 weeks, how proud you are of having this pinned on you. I bet you they get a wholesale. They don't pay $2.99 for it. They probably pay about 75 cents for this. What's your reward? To rule the universe with the God of the universe forever? You can't even put a value on that. You can't even conceive forever. What's forever? The government of God will always continue to increase. Old Testament scripture. Well, once the earth is conquered, where is it going to go? My thinking is that eventually the saints will rule the universe. And the universe is expanding. Science says it will never contract. Gravity lessens and things speed up. Imagine being part of the government of the universe forever. Do you believe that? Do you look forward to that? Do you want that? Times of testing have just begun. Will you endure? And that's the answer to the second question. Endurance. Why are you here? You've endured. You're still here. Hebrews 10, chapter 35. Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. It doesn't say if you endure to the end, your name goes into a lottery, and then God picks the winner. It says if you endure to the end, you will be saved. It's not optional. It's not a certain percentage get A's, certain percentage get B's, certain percentage get C's. If you endure, you will be saved. That scripture is repeated in Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Scary times coming up ahead. You think COVID was bad? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So all of you will go through hardship. Yeah, I could think about that myself. Got all my vehicles. That's a hardship. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 14. Can your heart endure, or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. God's going to test us. It's not going to be easy to get there. He wants to be sure that there will be no more Satans in His kingdom. There'll be no more Satans in His kingdom. Going back to the website, marines.com, it says, only those who possess the never-quit spirit required of every Marine will find the strength they never knew they had and the willpower they never knew they needed, commitment to find that second wind even when it hurts to breathe. Have you experienced a second wind? I know Laura has. When I was back in college and I was in the Naval ROTC program, Marine Option, our Marine Officer Instructor Major Raymond O'Leary used to take us out on 4-mile runs twice a week. Not on level ground, up and down hills. Not with tennis shoes, in boots. We would run 2 miles out and then we would run 2 miles back. He was a Mustanger, which meant he came up through the ranks. He was in his 40s. We were all in our early 20s, bring big, strong studs. Nobody ever beat him. In the 3 years I ran with him, no one ever beat him. But when you got to the top of the hill after that second mile and you were winded, and you felt that second wind come, where all of a sudden you weren't tired anymore, you gave him a race. And I remember one specific date, I took the 2 miles out, and it was at night, and I decided, hey, I don't want to go back. I'm going to turn right and see what happens. And I turned right, and I ran, and I got my second wind. And I ran, and I ran. I didn't know where I was going, but I finally got back to campus. Next day, I took my Volkswagen Beetle to see how far I ran. I had run 14 miles. And after the first two, I wasn't tired. That's the second wind. That's the power of God that gives you when you're in a crisis. You go through the first part of it, and you become totally exhausted. You think that maybe I want to give up. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gives you more power and you make it through, and then it becomes easier. I've experienced that. I hope you've experienced that too. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If anyone's work, while he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. He will receive reward. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Whatever is thrown your way, you're expected to endure. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, now that's the conditional part. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. That's the unconditional part. If we endure, we will reign. No question. We will reign. Hebrews 12:7. If you endure chastening, and I always think of David. Wow. You talk about sinning and then having God chastise him. But he endured. And we know what his reward is going to be. He's going to be over the 12 tribes of Israel. He endured. He didn't give up on God. He endured. And he will have his reward. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. It doesn't say those who know him or those who believe in what he said. Those who love him. James 5, verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job's another one that went through a lot of trials, wondering, why me? What did I do? Of course, we know the story because the book of Job tells us that Satan challenged God. God said, okay, go ahead. Take away all this stuff. Make him ill. But don't kill him. Test. And Job's sitting down there saying, why me? But he endured. He didn't like what some of his friends said. God didn't like what some of his friends said, but he endured. And you'll meet him in the kingdom of God. So if you give up in the Marine Corps, you can't get this. You've probably seen movies on SEAL training, and it's the very equivalent. They have a bell. And anytime you want to give up, you go ring the bell 3 times. Nobody's going to try to talk you into staying. The bell's there for you to use anytime you want to. And the SEALs have a pretty good washout rate. I think it's somewhere around 2/3, not more. The people that start SEAL training. And these are people in top fitness and, you know, everybody thinks they're going to make it. Most drop out. Again, the drill instructors don't drop you. You drop yourself. Hebrews 13, verse 5. This reminds me of the Marine Corps. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you. Do you believe that? That no matter what you're going through, God is with you. Or he sent an angel down to help you. I've had so many experiences with solutions appearing exactly when I had the trouble. I remember the very first RV trip my wife and I took. We were crossing New Mexico, and we heard this beeping. Beep, 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 beep. Didn't know what it was. I'm driving along. She goes back. Oh, it's the refrigerator. How's our tank with propane? Off we go. You think that was coincidence? To run out of propane right next to a propane dealer. And I've had that happen a number of times when we travel. God never leaves you. If you ever have a chance to listen on YouTube to any of the talks by Admiral William McCraven, who spent 37 years in Special Forces. In fact, he ended his career as a four-star admiral in charge of all U.S. Special Forces around the world. Then he became chancellor of University of Texas at Austin. His first book that he wrote was called Make Your Bed, Little Things Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. And in that first book, in fact, he's written 3 books, I'm in a 3rd book right now, he talks about his experiences in the military and the lessons that he's learned. William McRaven, MCRAVEN, and if you want to see some of his speeches, they're tremendous. of how to live a successful life and the lessons that he's learned. So he says this. In SEAL training, take it one evolution at a time. Meaning, don't look 6 months down the road. Don't ask yourself, or don't look and say, I've got more swims and more runs and more PTs. If you do that, and that event horizon becomes a little too far, and I think it can be frightening, if all you do is try to do the very best you can on that very moment, you take it one step at a time, and then 6 months goes by, and you look at one evolution at a time, and you've made it. I remember one thing I learned in the service was, when you're totally, completely exhausted, just take the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. Don't think you have 2 more miles to go. Just the next step. So he goes on, he says, it is easy to quit in SEAL training. All you have to do is ring the bell 3 times and you're out. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to do anything. You ring the bell, you take your helmet off, you put it down, and that's it. And you find that in tough times, there's always kind of a way out that's called quitting. That's just deciding you're not going to tackle this problem. You're going to let the problem or the situation win. And so the one thing I'm always asked is, how do you get through SEAL training? So I ask you this. Slightly different question. How do you get through a Christian life? He said, I had a young man who was going off to SEAL training about a year ago, and he was a phenomenal athlete. I had lunch with him, and he said, well, do I need to run more? I said, no, I don't think so. He said, do I need to swim more? And I said, nope. Do I need to lift more? And he said, what is the key to going through SEAL training? I said, it's simple. You just don't quit. That's the whole key. So the answer to my second question was, you just endure. If you're willing to endure, you will be in the kingdom of God. No question about it. You don't have to doubt it. Don't have to wonder if you're good enough. All you have to do is continue in a Christian way of life and endure whatever happens in your life. That's it. The answer to my two questions was love the truth and don't quit. I have a little card that I picked up. Did you know there was a Marine Corps High School down in South Texas for grades 7 through 12. Not a big enrollment. Tuition's only $40,000 a year. But they have people from all different countries come through it. And I picked up this little card at a gift store. And I want you to use the word saint whenever I say Marine. The title, it cannot be inherited, nor can it ever be purchased. Remember in Acts, somebody tried to purchase the Holy Spirit? You and no one alive can buy it for any price. It's impossible to rent, and you cannot, it cannot be lent. Parable of the 10 virgins. You can't lend it. You can't lend your Holy Spirit to somebody else. You alone and our own have earned it with your sweat, your blood, and lives, and you own it forever. And I'll just say the title, A Saint of the High God. And on the back, you could probably identify with this. Civilians cannot and will not understand it, us, because they are not one of us. The Corps, we love it, live it, and shall die for it. If you have never been in it, you shall never understand it. Isn't it the same with the church? If you've never been in it, You'll never understand it. People don't understand why we do what we do. We understand it. We follow the scriptures. But they don't understand why we do what we do. So I am a Marine. And once a Marine, always a Marine. And I am a saint. And can you say with me, once a saint, always a saint? Can that be your motto in life? Once you became a saint, you will always be a saint? It's God's wish that that be true.